put these. It's a little warm in here this morning. The heating system, I think, is complete, but they had to, they're testing the different temperatures in the building to make sure everything is working fine. So that's why it's a little bit warmer. I'm gonna shed my jacket. I had the privilege, take that out of there. I had the privilege in July of being at Oiland and Badger Creek and also First United and Roseau here. And it was a warm July morning and I determined to wear a jacket. And I remember I got through my first service and I was gonna take it off for the second one. And I realized that I already sweat through my shirt, so I had to keep it on all morning. So I'll shed the jacket before that happens this morning. Okay, my topic this morning has to do with fellowship with other believers, and also fellowship with God. And my notes this morning involve a lot of scripture, so we'll be flipping through the Bible, and I welcome you to search through the Bible with me. And I think I've got about probably 10 or 11 different scriptures I'm going to reference as we see what the Bible has to say about how we should fellowship with others, especially those of the same mind. And in so doing, that helps prepare ourselves to present the gospel through the way we live and through word to others around us as we prepare one another. And also I want to talk about that we need fellowship with God as well in order to accomplish that. I was in New Orleans this morning and I started out with the topic on fellow believers, and then I went to fellow, I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to start with the part that I have notes on fellowship with God. And I'm going to read a text this morning. Since I have so many scriptures, I didn't really have a single text. So why don't we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. John 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And as we think about our fellowship with God, how do we achieve that? I've got four different things written down here. Maybe I'll just throw it out there. How do we achieve fellowship with God? Anybody got an answer for me, other than the ones I've written down here?
Be in the Word.
Be in the Word. And prayer. I got both those down. Yes. You have to be reconciled with God, and we do that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And any others? Fellowship with believers. Okay. And the other one I've written down here, I had written down, I thought of being reconciled with God as kind of a given, but yes, that is the all-important first step. Without that, there can be no fellowship with God. So I've got written down here, the first one I had was read the Bible, be in his word. And 2 Timothy 2:15, a lot of these are going to be pretty familiar scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What does it mean to divide the word of truth? Okay. It is. Yeah. And also dividing the word of truth to find out. It's a hard thing to kind of explain in my mind, but you know, being in the word and meditating on it and seeking what it has to say to you for that day. Not just reading, but also thinking about what you've read. And maybe as your thoughts present, you go to a different scripture that will reinforce what you've just read, or maybe will correct the thoughts about what you just read. And so we need to be reading the word to find out what God is saying through it, and also to make sure that our thoughts are aligned with the word. And prayer, one person describes prayer as face-to-face fellowship with God. And my prayer life is not always what it should be, because it's hard to, sometimes it's hard for me to find the words, but it's hard to, in our earthly way of looking at things, it's hard to think of a God who is omnipotent and present everywhere. It's hard for us to put our heads around that the God of the universe wants us to pray to him and for us to have fellowship with him. And we do that through the reading of the Bible and through prayer. We need to realize who God is and what he wants from us, and that he cares for us. You know, God is love, they say. God cares for us, the agape love, just as we're supposed to care for each other. And my scripture for that was 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 18. Did I say 6? 16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Anybody have a handle on that? And I've got written here, I actually looked up the Greek word. Now my Greek is Greek to me. The Greek word for without ceasing is adelepatos, which doesn't mean nonstop, but actually means constantly recurring. In other words, we can punctuate our moments with intervals of recurring prayer. We pray without ceasing. And one person that I read a quote from said it was, and this is kind of a odd way to think about it, but it's like a persistent cough. I mean, when we have something, Brett has something persistent going on, you hear him back there sometimes. We don't think about it, we just clear our throat or we cough. And sometimes, as we go through those moments, it just happens, you don't think about it. And if we're in close fellowship with God, I think that our thoughts can become prayers. As we go throughout our day, I know I experience that sometimes when I was working. Some of the things I did were somewhat repetitious, and so you could do the tasks you were doing at times without really thinking about them. And so I would think about lots of different things, and as a concern would come into my mind, There were times, and maybe they should have been more often than they were, but as we thought those thoughts, we would breathe a little prayer to go along with that thought. And I just pray that I can achieve something like that, and that we can as Christians. And I've got a couple of quotes here that have to do with that. One is from Martin Luther. He wrote, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." And then C.S. Lewis writes, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time. Waking and sleeping, it doesn't change God, it changes me." So I think we need to pray for God to align us to his will, not to align God to our will. As the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done." And then I've written here, attend church, and that's part of the fellowship of believers. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I didn't print my scriptures out this time so that you can probably find them quicker than I can. I'm quite sure some of you can. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I notice in the New King James, the word "day" is capitalized. So I'm guessing we're talking about the day that we see approaching. We see it more now than ever. And knowing that day is approaching, you know, it's closer now than it's ever been. And that's been true throughout the New Testament era. The day is closer than it ever has been. And that should not, that should highlight the need for us to fellowship together, to attend church, to do things together, to strengthen each other. And therefore, by being strengthened, we can approach others more easily if we are in the Word and have been in fellowship with others and with God. And Dwight Moody writes, "Church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man." And once again, Martin Luther writes, "To gather with God's people in united adoration of the Father is as necessary to the Christian life as prayer." So Martin Luther believed that uniting together in adoration or worship of the Father is of the utmost necessity. And there are so many. I'm kind of transitioning now into the fellowship with fellow believers, that there are so many who say, "Well, I can worship God out in the field or out in the woods. I can worship his creation by myself when I'm out fishing or whatever it is." And there is vitality to be found in gathering together to worship, to break bread together. And I'm not just talking about the Lord's Supper, which we'll be doing, partaking in later. I'm talking about sitting at a table with a cup of coffee or a meal. And some of the best conversations I've ever had with people is over a cup of coffee or a shared meal. And there are certain elements that need to exist for fellowship to be successful. And we should have things in common. Number one, our beliefs should align. I'm going to look at Acts 2, verse 42. We all know the story from Acts 2, the event of Pentecost. And Acts 2, verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." So are we fellowshipping with one another and continuing steadfastly in the doctrine of the New Testament? Are we spending time together breaking bread and gathering around the table and praying together? It looks as if, according to that verse, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." We had Bible study on Wednesday evening, and the study we had was on the topic of prayer, and he kind of went through the Lord's Prayer a bit, and I think back to days gone by where we would have our prayer meetings on Wednesday nights, and it was Bible study and prayer. There was always a study, but it was always called prayer meeting, and there was the season of prayer was usually just as long as the season of study. And I remember as a child sometimes get a little restless, but we would, if we met in homes or in the church, wherever we met, we would kneel at the place we were sitting praying to the Lord. And we were all in the room. Many people would partake and would pray. And I think at times we may have lost something along the way in that time. And also I'm going to have to move along here a bit. And we need to work together. And you can look up some of these things on your own if you wish. Work together. I think of the when they were building in the book of Nehemiah, how everyone worked together, everybody contributed what they could to that project. And also we need to have the same faith to achieve fellowship. And also we need to have a thing in common as to what we struggle against. We struggle against the works of the devil. We struggle against the works of Satan in our life. As we read in Romans, Paul struggled with that as well. And we need to support each other in our struggles. We need to be able to share with one another with confidence, and that those around us will share in our struggle and will support us. We need a common purpose. And our common purpose, I would say, would be to glorify God, to learn more from His Word, some of the things we've already talked about, and also to be His feet and His hands here on earth as we would like to. I'm always searching for words, and they don't always come, but we're always hoping to be able to share through the way we live and our words, your gospel with others. And we need to have the same hope and unity. And I just pray that we all have the hope for eternity that we have found through being our redemption through Jesus Christ, and that we can be unified in our study and in our worship. And I just pray that we can, as a congregation, we can move forward in the things that he wants for us. Then I'm going to close here with a little paragraph from James Packer. "Christian fellowship is two-dimensional, and it has to be vertical before it can be horizontal. We must know the reality of fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, before we can know the reality of fellowship with each other in our common relationship to God. The person who is not in fellowship with the Father and the Son is no Christian at all, and so cannot share with Christians the reality of their fellowship. And he, in that he referenced 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I'm just going to read that quickly, and then I'll close. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. To that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly your fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you again for the opportunity we had this morning to gather together. And Lord, help us so we never take that for granted, Lord, that we have the freedom to do this. And I'm thankful for each one who's here. And I just pray that as the week unfolds, that we will be seeking your will in our lives and seeking fellowship with you so that we can have true fellowship with our fellow believers. Now, Lord, I just thank you again for all the blessings and the blessings to come, Lord. And we just pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, now we'll move into the communion. I have taken the old last song. I'm sorry, Gail. Turn your hymnal. Thank you, Gail. Turn your hymnals to page 478. Search me, O God.